Thank you. Very good, Jerry. Again, we are going to speak on faith this morning. And, you know, we might have some new faces here this morning. And the Lord had laid it on my heart that we need to start with the basics. And sometimes, even though we've been walking with the Lord for decades, we need to hear the basics. Because that's where we started, right? So with that, every one of us has faith. Now, with that being said, now, our faith might not be in God. It might be what? It might be in something or someone else. Okay? But they have faith. So they might believe in themselves. They have faith in themselves. Or maybe they have faith in the political system. So what is faith and how does it work? Okay? So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that we do not see. So here's faith right here. This is faith right here. We can't see it, can we? But I've told you it's there, right? Even though we can't see it, it is a substance. Faith is a substance of the things that we hope for, that we want. Every one of us in this room has something that we have a desire in our heart to have. It could be a thing. It could be restoration of a family member. It could be so many different things that we have a desire that God's put in our heart. But it's that faith. That's the substance that it takes to get you from A to B. Okay? So that's why it says, now faith is the substance of the things that we hope for, and it is the evidence of the things that we do not see. So faith isn't just believing something, though. It's acting upon what you believe. Now I'm going to give you an example of that. Cheryl's going to be my example. You can stay put. Cheryl has talked about, and I'm sure she won't mind me, because if this helps somebody else, and I did share this a little bit with Terry yesterday, if it helps you take a next step, a level up in faith, it's worth it. Right, Cheryl? Cheryl's going, what's she going to say? Cheryl was talking about, she didn't even realize she was saying it, she was talking about my migraines. She'd say, I had my migraine yesterday, or she'd say, my migraine. When you take a hold of something like that, you're saying, I'll take ownership of that. That's my migraine. You can't have it. You can't have this, devil. I know you gave it to me, but, you know, it's mine. So when she realized, she caught herself. Since then, as we put it, she loves this. She goes, each and every day, a little layer of that onion has been getting to be peeled off. And less, she's experiencing less and less of those migraines. Or even when they do start coming, I'm sure that sometimes fear tries to come in because you've been there, done that, and you know where it can go. And you know the pain that you can endure with that. But you start speaking the word, and you go, no, that layer has been taken already off. And so she might experience maybe an aura. She might experience a little bit, but little bit by little bit, it's getting better and better and better. That's what faith does. And you say, well, when you pray for something, God, when he healed them all. But the disciples, they prayed over people, and they weren't seeing the results. And they asked Jesus about it. Jesus said, some come through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. So in other words, too, that onion needs to be peeled off layer by layer. Okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today is faith. So I'm going to read this to you. You can give intellectual agreement, acceptance, or approval on something and say, I believe this is to be true. And that would be true with the Word of God. I can believe it up here, but do I believe it in here? And you'll know the difference because you're going to start acting on it. And that's what I said earlier. Faith is an action. Okay? So, the word, you know, I like this. It says in James 2:19, it says, yet the Bible says, even the demons believe and tremble. So, I mean, we can say, well, I believe. Well, so didn't the demons. They believed it too. But they're not acting on it. They're acting on, you know, on what Satan wants. Okay? So, let's go on. So, real faith in God is believing, which is an action. We need action. So faith does things. If you have real faith, you will do what it is. And again, I explained that. And that's what Cheryl did. She took her faith and she applied it to the situation. So we have to act upon our faith. So let's go on. Hebrews 11, all the way from verses 1 through 13, it talks about examples of those who walked in faith. Abel offered a sacrifice, okay? Noah prepared an ark, okay? Look at Noah. I mean, they don't know what rain is. And yet he's building this ark. Do you think he got laughed at? I'm sure he did. Even his sons, maybe like, Dad, there's no water here. What are you doing? But again, he acted on faith and what God wanted him to do. Abraham obeyed. We know the story about Abraham, but yet he obeyed. So faith with no works is a faith that doesn't work. When you don't act upon your faith, it's not going to work. So everything in our lives revolves around faith. Again, what is your faith in? No matter what it is in, all of your everyday life is going to revolve around that faith. Whether it's a faith in somebody else, faith in something, it's going to evolve around that faith. So, in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. So you can't have faith in yourself. That's what it's saying here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. We can't work for our faith. It's been a gift given to us. Okay? And again, to receive that, you have to have faith. You have to have faith to have faith. Okay? So, and it goes on to say, through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not works. We can't earn it, lest anyone should boast. So in other words, and how many times did we, you know, we read in Scripture how some of the disciples, you know, well, I want to sit on this right hand. You know, Jesus, when you go to heaven, can I sit on your right side? Can, you know, and they bickered with each other, you know, about who was the best. And what it's saying here is, in the Scripture is, none of us can boast about what God has given us. If he's given us faith, it's because he gave it to us as a gift. It had nothing to do with what you did. It's what he did for you. Okay, not only are we saved by faith, but we live by faith, not by feelings. So it says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So if we build our Christian lives on emotions, what are we going to do? We're going to be riding that roller coaster. It's going to be just a roller coaster ride from day one. But faith, on the other hand, steadies that roller coaster. We don't go with our emotions. It helps control our emotions. You know, when my great granddaughter was born the other day, my daughter shared with me that. And I sent some pictures to a few of you. Her color was not good at all. And when she was born, she did not cry. She was gasping for air. And very weak. And then finally, within 20, 30 minutes maybe, they finally did put her on oxygen. But when I saw that picture of her with the oxygen on, when she sent me that picture, I go, no, I'm not going by how this looks. I'm not going by how this looks. I'm going to keep praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just stood my ground. So these are the things that we have to realize. We can't stay focused on what the visual, what in the natural it looks like. So God says the exact opposite. When you know, some of us say, I believe it when I see it. But God is totally the opposite with that. You will see it when you first believe it. You will see it when you first believe it. There are many things in life that have to be believed before that they can be seen. So faith is visualizing the future. It's believing before you see it. Okay? If you want to say what's faith, it's believing it before you see it. Faith is the substance, again, of the things that we hope for. If we hope for it, then we haven't seen it yet. If we've seen it, it's not hope anymore because it's right there. You can feel it, touch it, smell it, whatever. But hoping is something because you're hoping because you have not seen it yet. So faith is the substance of things that you hope for. So I'm going to read a story here. In 1961, the Soviet Union sent the first cosmonaut into space. When the cosmonaut returned to Earth, the Soviet leader, Khrushchev, I probably slaughtered that, declares they'd been to space. You know, he'd share with the people that they had been to space, and they did not see any God out in space, okay? Okay, so 10 months later, the U.S. sent John Glenn out into space, circling the Earth three times in his Mercury mission, and he came down, and this is what he told the world. This is what he said. I saw God in everything. I saw his glory in the galaxies. I saw his splendor in the universe, and I saw his majesty in the stars. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning, and you're going to be surprised at the answer I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to ask you, which one was right? Well, actually, they both were. And you say, well, wait a minute, how can that be? Well, think about it. The cosmonaut said he didn't see anything. Why? Well, he wasn't transformed. Spiritually, he wasn't transformed. When you become born again, you're spiritually transformed. And because he did not see God, because he spiritually was not transformed or born again. But Glenn, John Glenn, he was. He accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was spiritually transformed in his life. But the thing is, with a person that has not been spiritually transformed, they have a narrow, they're narrow-minded. They're narrow-minded. So the possibility of seeing God for this cosmonaut was not going to happen. So again, they were both right. The cosmonaut didn't see God, but it was because he was not born again. He didn't know God. Okay? He didn't accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But John Glenn had. Now, here's another one I want to share with you. A statement that was read. I read Wember von Braun, the leading scientist in the early stages of the U.S. space program, said, there has never been any great accomplishments in history without faith. Wow. There's never been any great accomplishments without what? Without faith. So, it's faith that causes a scientist to believe that we can put a man on the moon. Who had ever heard of that in the 18th century? But it took a person who had a vision. God put that vision into that person. And when that happens, it's the growings of what? Faith. It's faith that causes an architect to design a building because first they believed. They believed it can be done. Now there's a word here that I want you to catch, so I'm going to read these again to you. Causes a scientist to believe that he can put a man on Earth. It causes an architect to design a building because he believed that it could be done. And then it causes an Olympic athlete to practice and to go to Olympic trials because they believe they can achieve it. And then another one, it is faith that causes a sculptor or an artist or a pianist to have accomplish great works that God has planted into their spirits to believe that it's possible. So what is the key word we're looking for here? Believe. That's what faith is, believing without seeing. Someone has to believe it before they see it. That is not faith. Someone has to see it before they believe it, whereas with God, again, it's the opposite. Someone has to believe before they see it. We can trust God's promise and his work in our lives. So, believing in God's love and care and guidance as we face whatever has been given to us for that day. Because why? When we believe that God has gone before us that day and prepared a way for us. Now, this morning, I need Bill and Buster, if you would. My usual go-tos. Actually, Justin, Russ, if you want to come up, and I'll let you go to the center, on the outside over there if you can. You can pass these out on your side, on the inside, Buster. You can pass these out on that side. You might need a few more. Everyone gets one of these. Here, Bill. Get some extra. Everyone gets one of these. When you get these, tell me what you think that is. Mustard seed. I just dumped because I wasn't going to go through and try to put one mustard seed in a bag. It would have taken me three times as long, so I just dumped. So, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Has everyone got one? Thank you, boys. Men, gentlemen. Did you get one, Bill? All right, so Jesus uses this tiny mustard seed to illustrate a huge power of faith. You know, the mustard seed is what, 1 to 2 millimeters long, and it has the potential to grow into a large shrub. Your homework this week is I want you to get on Google, and I want you to find out what a full-grown mustard shrub looks like. Okay, that's your homework. Okay. So it experiences tremendous growth, but guess what? We can experience tremendous growth in our faith. So we're going to talk about that. Faith is powerful, and that we can use it for anything, even something that seems to be impossible. Now, that talk brings us to the word mountain. Mountain is a symbol that is used in the Bible many, many times regarding our challenges, our obstacles that we face. The mountain represents anything that looms larger, causes fear, causes doubt, causes uncertainty in our lives. That's why they use the word, it's like a metaphor. So just as mountains are solid and immovable, our problems to us seem just like that. But Jesus reminds us that with faith, nothing is impossible. Right, Charlie? Nothing is impossible. Charlie and Kelly have gone through so much in these last 2 or 3 years. You know, they've lost a couple of loved ones in their family, and Kelly's health and Ginger's health, and just one thing after another has been just coming head on, face on to this family. And yet, here's Charlie this morning in here saying, "He's my God, and I'm come here to worship him today." So Charlie is acting on his faith. He's here today. He's acting upon his faith. He's saying, "I'm not letting this stop me from worshiping my God." So faith is like that mustard seed. It starts small, but grows to nurture and to care. It requires trust in God's power, even when the circumstances and the challenges seem overwhelming. It's when we have this faith that we acknowledge that God is greater than anything that comes against us. Okay? So, the mustard seed grows to fertile soil into a shrub with yellow flowers. So faith can grow through what? Through God's word, and nurtured by our prayers, and nurtured by being obedient. That's how our faith will grow. That's how our faith grows. I know when I was confronted about this position here, I'm going, I can't do this, God. I can't do that. And you know what he said to me? You're right, you can't. You can't do it, but I can. You just have to get up there and get behind the pulpit, and I'll give you what you need to say. I will lead you, and I will guide you. But you've got to do your part. You've got to step up to the bat. And that's what we all have to do every single day. And when we start our day, we need to say, "Lord, I don't know what you have in store for me today. But with your help, you said you'd go before me. You've gone before me. You've prepared the way. Now I'm going to take that faith that you've planted in me, and I'm going to bring it up a notch. Today I'm going to bring up that faith level another notch." Why? How do we do that? Through God's word, through reading his word, through prayer, fellowshipping with God, and with obedience. So, lastly, Jesus calls us to have faith in God's active involvement in our lives. Stop right there. Right there. Listen to that again. God wants to be active or wants to be involved in our lives. Once you get that from here to here, that he wants to be a part of your everyday life, every single day of your life. He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't take the weekends off. He is there 24/7. He watches you as you sleep. He watches, and he's down there saying, look, isn't she beautiful when she sleeps? She's so beautiful when she sleeps. And he needs to stop snoring, but I will get to that. You know, but he's so proud. He looks down on his children 24/7. Now, we have to realize God's active involvement in our lives. He's active. He's active. We have to have that faith to know that he is active in our lives, that he goes before us each and every day. He encourages us to believe that we will witness God at work. So when we pray that morning, we go, you know, Lord, I need a little encouragement to see your hand on this situation. I need to see your mighty hand moving on this situation that I'm going through right now. Encourage me. And I'll bet if some of you sat back, probably all of you, if you sat back and thought about it, you would experience or say, God will bring, the Holy Spirit will bring it right back to your remembrance. Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember when you showed me that. That is, you're right. You are working on my behalf. My friend that's staying with me till she gets her job, which she got her job. Now, there's a lot of people applying for this position. She's not even from Illinois. She's from Maine originally. She got this position in Ottawa, and there was a lot of people applying for this position. Yes, she was in National Guards. I'm sure that helped. But you know what? She's a praying young lady, and she had a lot of other people praying for her as well. She got this position. And I know God's going to use her mightily in this because it's on the order of, like, working for WIC or it's something, you know, that's dealing with helping people, and she's that kind of person. So we have to sit back and look, like, she could look back and say, you know, I wasn't the only one applying for this position. Look what God did. God opened that door of opportunity. So we have to stop and say, Lord, I know that you are active in my life. And that we need to see, we need to witness God's work, his hand on what is going on in our lives. We need to see him transforming our circumstances and our situations and for our purpose. For, you know, and every day I say, Lord, thank you for all the good things that you do. Every single day we can find something. As we exercise our faith, we align ourselves up with God's will. So when we line ourselves up with the word, line ourselves with being obedient to God, what are we doing? We are lining ourselves up so that God can use us. So he can use us. That person's ready to be used. But then what happens? Not only does he use you, he backs it up with his power, with his glory. As long as we apply the faith, that gift of faith that he's given us, this is what's going to transpire. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see God's mighty hand at work. Now, as I was sharing this with Tori last night, she said this to me, and I just like, whoa, this was awesome. And I read it back to her, because after she told me this, I wrote it down real quick, and she's like, wow, that was Holy Spirit. This is what she said. It says, I pray this morning that your church family, that they would have a faith to believe, to see God's power and God's glory. See, it even takes faith to see God's power and to see God's glory. But one way, thank you, Holy Spirit, one way you can do that, remember I said faith is an action? You need to expect it. You need to expect it. I've been praying for a certain situation, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but I say, Lord, today I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it today. It's going to happen. And each day you keep saying that. I'm expecting. I'm complete healing for Cheryl. A complete healing for Kelly. a complete healing for Porter, a complete healing for Carter, a complete healing for Nevin. Every one of us in this room today have something that we want God to complete. Again, it might be something, an illness, whatever it is, finances, whatever it is, relationships. God is into the business of completion. But it takes us standing in faith, taking that faith and saying, I'm expecting because I believe. Because I believe. Heavenly Father, as we close this message this morning, the peace that comes through faith in you, Lord, it surpasses any human understanding that we have. So, Father, help us to keep our faith in you and in you alone, that we would have peace and not falter in our thinking, not allow our emotions to get in the way. The world wants to destroy that peace that we have through our faith with you. So, Father, protect our minds, protect our hearts from the things that come against us in the world, and keep us and walk with us and give us wisdom. And we thank you for this precious, precious gift of faith. And, Father, show us how to actively walk in that gift of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.